Welcome to So Many Bits. I'm your host, Bill Nielsen, and joining me once again from my palatial apartment in Chicago is Di Billick. Di, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Nice and warm.
That's good. That's good. We're going to keep you warm. We're going to keep the takes hot.
Hot takes.
And the gaming hotter.
Warm feet. Hot yeah. Games.
Now, we're going to talk about some games we've been playing. So, hey, Di, what you playing?
You know what? I'm going to surprise you and just, like, slip in a thing. Have you heard of the app, which is kind of like an RPG style gaming app called Habitica?
I have heard of it, but I'm not overly familiar.
Okay, so Habitica is an app on your phone where you put in daily tasks and a to-do list, and you earn experience points by completing these tasks and completing these habits and going in and like completing all that stuff. And I was invited to a party because my husband and my husband's friends are in this party, and I haven't been using it that much, but my husband has become exponentially productive. He's like sitting here doing dishes, and he waters the plants. He looks for things to do to gain experience points so we as a group can kill this enormous dragon. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, because let's not call myself controlling about housework, but I enjoy it because, as you know, I have a progressive muscular nerve disease, and like, so I have to stay active. So when it's a little cold outside, I gotta like stay active indoors. So I like doing housework. I love doing chores. Maybe it makes me simple, but like, I really love vacuuming and like cleaning the bathrooms. Meanwhile, my condo is spotless because my husband is trying to like level up in Habitica. That is a game that I've kind of been playing lately. I highly recommend you download it, and I will invite you to our party. It's just me and a bunch of improvisers from IO that I don't know all of them. It's like my husband's friends. And
good.
I'm going to invite you. You should do it.
All right. I can do that.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Playing games by extension. That's something new to the podcast. We're taking video game playing to a new level.
It's amazing, but like it really, like you really do. I am not finding that it enhances my habits a lot, but I like playing real video games as well, and I play real video games more than my husband, so there's that. So what else have I been playing lately? Well, I'm glad you asked.
Hey, Di, what you playing?
Thanks. I've been playing Link's Awakening.
Oh.
A lot.
Oh, is that a... What? So, like, that's a known game? People are excited about that?
I don't know if anyone's heard of it, but, like, so it was an old game on the Nintendo. What was it? The DS first, and then it was re-released in 1998 on the what?
Yeah, it was a...
Game Boy Color.
Game Boy, and then they re-released it as Link's Awakening DX.
Oh, DX. On
the Game Boy Color.
Oh, Game Boy Color.
And
got
it was the Generation X themes, like Link would tell you to suck it.
I mean, like, I know, again, you probably haven't heard of it, but it was released on a console called the Nintendo Switch.
The Switchy?
Yeah, the Switchy. It's fantastic. I love it so much. So, coming off of Breath of the Wild and like just loving it so much, but having A Link to the Past be my all-time favorite Zelda game, coming into this, I was like, this may be a little too cartoony for me, but it's also adorable, and I just like can't wait for Animal Crossing to come out. This is such a good compromise of where I am mentally right now. Hell yes. So I downloaded it. I had high hopes. I had already like read all the reviews and stuff because I didn't want to like drop $60 on a game that I might not like, but I'm like, no, I will love it. And the verdict is that I love it. I love it so much. I never played Link's Awakening original because I didn't have a Game Boy Color or the other ones. I love it. It's so much like A Link to the Past, which I didn't really expect, but it's all the same. It almost seems like even the same, like a similar map and a similar order to things. The dungeons are so fun. There are more puzzles, like way more puzzles than in like Link to the Past. It's a cute little world.
It looks amazing. Like
it
looks
so cool.
So adorable in like the screenshots I've seen anyway.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's the there's like frame rate issues, but I was concerned about that because I read that in a review. But as soon as I started playing, like 20 minutes in, they disappeared. I didn't see them anymore.
I hope so, because like you let me play the game a little bit before we started recording, and I didn't notice the frame rate so much. What I noticed was sometimes when you're moving, it seems like they take a circle around Link, and like that's the area that's sharpened in focus, and then there's the peripheral area, not the from like outside of Link's radius to the border of the screen that's like with smeared with Vaseline.
Yes, I think that you notice less when you play on a TV and not use the handheld version. I'm sure, you know, obviously it's still there, but I don't notice when I'm on the TV, and I've been playing it a lot on the TV, and I've also been taking it to bed and just like constantly playing it, and I'm not even that far. I just have been having so much fun exploring. I haven't really looked up any guides, so I'm on the fourth dungeon. So I did like three dungeons, but I also did the color dungeon, which doesn't count as the linear quest, but that's where you get the blue or red armor.
Mm-hmm,
I chose
mm-hmm.
blue. It was a good choice. and then I did there are a couple of random dungeons. It is so fun. I could just explore all day. I could just explore all day. I love it so much. There are two modes. It's just normal mode, and then is it master mode or champion mode or something like that? I forgot what it's called. But in that mode, you don't get any hearts ever.
Whoa,
so the
okay.
only time you get a refill in hearts is when you get a heart container or when you beat a level.
That's pretty tough. Okay, yeah.
So it's kind of ridiculous. Otherwise, the heart drops are pretty good. And really similar to like... you know when you get the Pegasus boots in A Link to the Past? And then you just like run through the grass and then you get some rupees and like sometimes some hearts. Like I could just do that all day. The similar thing of like, oh, here's a library. I have to get the Pegasus boots to knock this book off the shelf. And then I have to go to the graveyard that looks just like in Zelda 1. And you have to push the gravestones in a certain way in order to get into where the color dungeon is. It's just so, it's perfect. It's perfect. I love it. And I was like, this is going to be too cutesy for me. You know, there's an animal village and all the animals are there and everyone's singing and like...
Marin's there. She's hanging out. She's singing.
Yeah. And it's like, no, this is perfect. This is just so... It's the cuteness you want and the cuteness you didn't know you needed, basically. Gameplay is fun. And like a lot of the enemies, you need a shield to defeat. So you're using the mechanics and just like everything is just great. I love it. I know I'm very, like, hot and cold on things. I either love things or hate them, but can't tell. I love this game.
Have you messed around with the... there's, like, a dungeon building feature, isn't there? Like, have you messed around with that at all?
Just one. I've just done one, and it's... I don't know. I could see it getting addicting, but I don't see really getting bored with the game, but I think maybe if you get stuck on something and you don't want to use any guides, I think... refreshing yourself at the dungeon building thing might be pretty fun. I've only built one. Basically, you need all the parts to put together a proper dungeon. It needs an exit, and everything needs to connect in order for you to play it. You build the dungeon, and then you play it. And I'm pretty sure it's just from places of the dungeon that you've really been before in the other dungeons, and then you put them together, and then you get the keys. You're basically collecting rupees. And it's not that generous of rupee giving, but it's like, I don't know, I guess I don't know the purpose yet, but I guess you get rewards, and I could see the rewards being worth it if they're more than rupees. But yeah, it's pretty fun.
Huh.
Okay. And that's Dompei's shack. You go into Dompei's shack.
Dompei?
And it's this, yeah, this like old bald guy, and he's like, build a thing, and you're like, okay, I guess. What's the point?
I guess in my head I thought it would be like a Super Zelda Maker. Is it like when I heard about that at first, you're shaking your head.
It's pre-made dungeons that you can choose from where the exits are on which sides and how many exits there are.
Oh.
That's you can sort them by that, and then you just put it together. But it's not a Super Zelda Maker.
That is a bummer.
I know, that would be amazing. That would be so that would need to be so in depth in order for that to be like feasible.
Yeah, that'd
so
be way, yeah. way trickier than a Super Mario Maker.
Yes. Also, the game is a complete and total remake. It's not a port. You know what I mean? Like, it is a complete and total remake. If you can, if you look at the two games beside one another, the old version and this version, sure, like, you can see that it's so much of the same stuff. I think it's, like, there's not a lot of differences at all. And the differences that are good are, like, less dialogue when you can't, like, the dialogue is faster, you can skip over it more. The annoying things are, like, you had to map commands and items to, like, just one button because you would have only A and B. But now you have a bunch of buttons, so everything's, like, more easy to navigate. And it's just, like, I don't know. It's just, for a complete remake that we didn't know we needed, it was amazing. Because I was like, I'm going to waste money on this, probably. Nope, not a waste. Fantastic. Good stuff. What else do I have to say about it? I think that's all.
That's all you have to say about
that?
That's
all I have to say about that.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything else you've been playing lately?
I am going to save the other things that I've been playing lately, which is Final Fantasy XII, Zodiac Age. I got it for the Switch.
Nice.
Yep. I'm going to save that.
You're going to save it?
You know why?
Why?
I got to a place where I just kept dying. And I got really frustrated and I stopped. And I bought another game. So I'm going to pick it up when I'm done.
So you're waiting to get all the way through before you give a definitive answer on how you feel, whether you like it or you hate it. Only one of those two options.
I definitely don't hate it. And I definitely don't love it. I'm right in the middle right now, so I can't
make won't do
it. Yeah, I know. It won't do for me. It's black or white, hot or cold. I have to, you know, we're settling in for the big frost.
Yes, yeah, so we're getting there.
As soon as I'm done with Link's Awakening, then I'm going to go back over to that Zodiac Age. Yeah, that's all I've been playing. Well, how about you?
Well, I got a couple tales to tell about different video games.
Yay.
I'm almost done with Persona Q2. I'm at like the 70-hour mark, which is, you know, I haven't played too many RPGs these days, I think. No, I played Yeast 8 last year, and then I played Persona 5 the year before that, but pretty much, like, good for one RPG a year, and this one has been it. I've made every Persona I can, I think. I've almost finished all the side quests. There are these missions you can do with the characters.
Are you being a completionist with it?
It looks like I might, because I think I'm almost done with all the side quests. Like, they're numbered missions, so I hit number 46, which is the last one, and now I have to go in and, like, find a few more, like, five more that are before 46.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And you can also, like, craft these different personas, which is like making Pokemons, basically.
Right.
So I've made, like, 83% of all the personas that are possible in the game. And, I mean, at that point, you might as well just go the rest of the way, right?
Right. Wow.
And I'm on the last dungeon, I think. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm on the last dungeon. The final evil person finally revealed their face. And it's like, aha, I am evil. And you must stop me. And we're like, we're going to stop you. And we're working our way up to that.
Mm. I recently told... It was Sam who asked about Persona. I thought... I remember you saying it was one of your favorite game series. Am I wrong?
I like it a lot, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an RPG, and, like, you have to kind of be in for that, but in terms of, like, what it does with the RPG format, I like that more than pretty much any other series, what they do.
And this one, how does it stack up against the ones before it?
This one's a bit different, because, like, those other ones, you're in school, and, like, you're going through the school day, and, like, you run around in third person in the dungeons and stuff. Here, you are in a... It's all dungeon crawling. It's all done in first person. And you have to, like, make your map. I'm playing this on the 3DS, so, like, you have to draw in the map using the 3DS stylus.
Wow.
So you have to be pretty particular about wanting to do those things before I think I can recommend this game to you.
Yeah.
But if you're, like, hearing, oh, I get to draw my own map, sweet. Then Like, and it does it. There's a tool in the game that draws it. You don't have to like draw it on pen and paper, but
right.
Yeah, you have to be interested in that specific kind of game, I think.
Right. That makes sense. Interesting.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So 83% of the way building personas, but you know you're on the last dungeon. Is it something that you're trying not to complete?
Yeah, I would say. Like, okay. Because the side quests will show up periodically. Usually it's triggered by you reaching a certain percentage of like completion of the map.
Right.
Like, or like sometimes they'll trigger cutscenes in the dungeons where like you walk into a dead end and it'll say like interact or check. And then like when you interact, then different characters will have a conversation and that will trigger another mission to finish. So like just gradually progressing, you can see all the missions, but like I'm always stopping immediately to finish the mission on the side before I go and continue progress on the main quest.
Right. Interesting. I was asking more of like if you're doing it because you want to make sure that you complete it or if you just don't want the game to end, which I've experienced twice very recently of not wanting a game to end. So just not wanting to beat it.
I think I'm ready for it to end. I think I've had enough at this point. Like it's been going on for a while. You know, maybe who knows, maybe I'd revisit it some years down the line when like I have more free time or something. Right. But yeah, I think I'm pretty good on what they've laid out for me. I already know there is a Persona 5 Royale coming out in I think, well, they say spring 2020. We'll see if they actually hit that, but it's going to be sort of a enhanced version of Persona 5 where like they introduce new characters. There's like more stuff you can do on the sides. They like open up the game a bit more. It's like still the same main game, but they're like sprinkling in more elements of things to do along the way.
You wouldn't play it again.
Oh, I totally played it again. Totally.
Okay.
It took me 80 hours the first time. I mean, I'm ready to invest another 80. It's been 2 years.
It's not that long when you think about it.
I guess. I mean, it's 2 work weeks in my vocabulary. So.
Sure. I was recently looking at my Switch profile, and it says that I played Breath of the Wild for 160 hours.
That is a lot.
You know that I'm not like, you know, I'm just fucking around and trying to like be.
Like, create like flying machines with magnets and giant
basically,
boulders.
Basically, like doing all the fun things and like not wanting the game to end. And accidentally, I went and accidentally beat the game, and Ganon was like the easiest thing in the game. It was so disappointing, but spoiler alert. No, but like 80 hours, if you're enjoying it, doesn't seem like that much. Unless it's linear and then you're like, bleh.
I mean, it is set up, structured to be a school year.
Right.
So the first part of the game is the beginning of the school year, and then the game ends at the end of the school year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like living every day of the school year.
Wow.
Like, you go to class, after class, you might go visit a friend and, like, talk with them. Then you go home and, like, you make some lockpicks. Because that's something you need to do in this game.
Yep, and that's something you do in real life.
Yes, naturally,
yeah. You know, gotta make your lockpicks.
Oh, yeah. And once you've done that, you can move on to the next day. Maybe the next day you go into the dungeon and you fight monsters there. Or you like go meet the your school teacher who happens to be a maid, and like growing your relationship with her unlocks like new bonus powers for you.
Interesting.
Yes. Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Persona Q too.
Sounds like something you have to play. Like one of those stories, like you'd have to be there. You have to be there.
Well, see.
You know, your school teacher is a maid.
Well, I mean, you don't understand. See, she was involved with an incident a few years ago where one of her students ended up getting in a big accident, and she like owes the family money, basically. Not like legally obligated, but she like is paying it out of guilt, and they're kind of really putting her through the ringer to try and like keep her paying, and so she has to work 2 jobs just to make ends meet.
The old guilt payment ringer.
Yeah.
What a good person. But also, wow, that's so socially involved. I love it.
It's involved. Yeah, it's We could spend... Persona's weird. Okay. You go into people's brains and then you brainwash them into doing things that are good.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, sometimes your characters are like, are we doing the right thing? And then they're like, eh. And they just do it.
And you're like, are we? And you have an existential crisis where you don't know what's right or wrong anymore and you realize it's a gray area. See, video games just make us better people. Sometimes.
Another game I've been playing lately is this game Trauma Team for the Nintendo Wii. Nothing? Got nothing?
Pause for think.
So Trauma Team is the last to this date entry in the Trauma Center series of games.
I've never heard of this. Granted, I've never had a Wii.
Well, they were for the Wii and the DS, and you were a doctor, and you would be given different, like, medical scenarios you needed to handle, and you would use either, like, the stylus on the DS or, like, the Wiimote on the Wii games to kind of navigate these complex surgeries and stuff like that. Trauma Team takes it to another level, though, because it's trying to tell this big mystery story. And it involves a cast of six different characters, all at different points in the, like, medical treatment chain. So, like, there's a... You have the first responder. So she, like, early on, there's a fire, and she shows up on the scene of the fire, and she's giving, like, emergency treatment to people as they're being pulled out of a burning building. And then there's, like, just the... I guess you would just say, like, the regular doctor. And, like, he meets someone in his office and, like, does, like, a diagnosis there. And you have to, like, go through medical files and, like, compare symptoms for different diseases and stuff.
You're talking about this game, like, it's the way you're explaining it seems arduous. But I'm looking it up on my phone. It's got good ratings, which I'm kind of surprised at. I think I would love this game.
So, when you describe it as arduous, I would kind of agree with you.
Okay.
Like, I think the idea behind the game is more interesting, perhaps, than the execution.
Mm-hmm.
Each of the different characters does different things, but all of them use the Wiimote.
Okay.
Now, you haven't had a Wii, but you've used a Wiimote, right?
Absolutely.
And it's not the most precise instrument.
It's not. It's annoying.
Yeah, so keep in mind, you're being asked to perform surgery
with
in
your
the game
Wiimote. So
with
it's like,
the Wiimote.
Is it anything like Operation, the board game?
It's like that, yeah, where like you'll have to make incisions on a certain line.
You're saying this like, I'm fascinated. I want a game like this. That's what I want.
I think it's a neat idea. It's the way you have to operate everything with the Wiimote ends up being pretty tough.
Yeah. And I could see that.
And I mean, part of it is like, it's using an adventure game structure to the non-surgery moments where like, you know, when you're doing the diagnosis, you have to like walk between rooms to conduct different tests. And you have to, like, pursue the right line of inquiry with the patient.
So you can,
because, like, she'll tell you her symptoms. Mm-hmm. And then you have to, like, highlight the thing she says. It's like, wait a minute. That's not normal.
Right.
And, like, follow up and, like, ask questions and, like, note symptoms from that. So it just ends up being a little more...
Endoscopy?
And I know sort of that word, but, like, I don't know what context we're...
Surgery, endoscopy... Yeah. So I'm looking at these different, I'm looking at the Operation gameplay. I see what you mean. So you're not actually, it does look very difficult to try to get in between the ribs and then put the pieces of rib back onto the rib with the Wiimote and then make the incisions and carefully pull the stitching across the wound.
There was another one where you have to like put a nozzle into someone. And then move it through their body. And then, like, when you get to a certain area that's, like, round-shaped, you have to, like, shoot antibiotics at spots and, like, suck up pools of blood and stuff like that. The Wiimote is not meant to do those kind of things.
It's not. And in my head, I had... So I'm just looking at a video. In my head, I had imagined a more realistic anatomy structure. There's not that. That doesn't exist. But this is cartoonish. Simplified. Simplified is a great word, because I wouldn't go as far as to say cartoonish. They're just like, it's so simplified.
Yeah.
So I think I've mentioned this to you before. I made a Reddit post that said, wow, what a great way to teach kids geography if we like made games like Grand Theft Auto in actual existing places. And of course I was downvoted, and it's like, children shouldn't play video games that are violent, blah blah blah. And it's like, wow, no. A, B, so this is what I had in my head. This thing would be fun were it an accurate depiction of human anatomy and like surgery, but it's not. So I understand what you're saying.
It's trying more than most, we'll say. Yeah. That. And I think like the idea of the mystery, like you're trying to figure out this mysterious illness that is affecting people, and you're doing it from the perspective of six different characters, and they each have their own motivations, and like, that's a cool idea.
Yeah, it is.
Just, it doesn't quite come through in the execution. It's right. It's a bit of a slog, unfortunately.
I could see that. Also, close to home, I don't know. You ever see that meme where it's like, on TV, doctors, I'm going to try everything that I can in my power to make sure I find out what's wrong with you, because your life matters. In real life, doctors, here's some medication you're probably faking. Like, and that was my experience, having a rare disease that has finally been diagnosed after, you know, 26 years. But like, there are so many mystery illnesses in the world, and like, still so many overlapping symptoms that I would imagine that a real medical professional would probably play this game and be like, this is nuts. Or someone who knows about, you know, medical situations would probably be like, no, miss me with this game.
Yeah.
Educational games, though. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Make them fun!
Like, there are people out there that are trying, I think, to do that. It's just like, we're still trying to figure out the best delivery method.
Right. I'm so on board for a fun educational game. What's the most educational game you've ever played on, like, an accidentally educational game?
Like, in my life?
I think so, yeah. Something that taught you something about the mechanics of something. I would personally say, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I learned so much about ancient Greece.
I'm going to have to take a mulligan on this one.
Just, okay. I can't. All right.
I'll think about it more, though.
Okay.
Trauma Team was one game I've been playing. The other game I was playing, and I played this on stream a bit, is called Dicey Dungeons.
Mm.
And this was really cute. I really liked playing this game. It's I've talked a bit about Slay the Spire on here, or had guests who have talked about it, and it's kind of similar to that, honestly. You are a character walking through this dungeon map, and at every stop on the map, you encounter an enemy, you play a battle against them, and you beat them, and then you get to add to your inventory. In Slay the Spire, it's a deck of cards. In Dicey Dungeon, it's dice.
It's a big jump.
So there are just... they find a lot of different ways, though, so far at least, to kind of keep things fresh in terms of how the rules play out. Like, the most basic thing you get is you can get this many rolls a turn. And then, like, you have this many, different slots where you can put dice to do different attacks and techniques. So, like, you can have, let's keep it simple, sword and shield. Mm-hmm. So you roll a dice, you deal that many pips of damage for the sword, and you roll a dice for the shield, and you prevent that many pips of damage from the enemy's attack. Simple.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's, like, different spells that have effects, where it's like you can freeze dice, and if you freeze them, then they can't be rolled. Or you can poison dice, where if you poison a dice, it always turns up a one. And like the one I played most recently was, I was doing like the robot.
Mm-hmm.
And the robot, they have this different mechanic where you can roll as many dice as you like, but they go towards a counter, and you're trying to get exactly 11 on the counter. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you can stop before 11 and get a certain effect, and if you go over, you get no effect. But if you land exactly on 11, you get the jackpot attack, which is like a powerful attack or a big heal or something like that. And then like all the different things you find in the dungeon like impact it. Like they give you a, you can expand the jackpot range. You can make your dice hue lower on the scale. So like they're 1 to 4 instead of 1 to 6, stuff like that. I mean, I found that all pretty interesting. I like that formula of game. The one thing I encountered, which maybe will change over time, is after playing for a couple hours, it was really easy.
Oh, right.
Like, I mean, I don't know if that's by design, but like, usually you play the game and like you're trying to get to the end and beat the big final boss over like several floors of activity. And I did that the first 3 times I played the game. So I don't know if that's normal. I don't know if that's like expected and you're supposed to just kind of like get into things and like unlock more stuff and it gets more challenging. That's not normally how that type of game works.
Right. What console?
I played this on PC.
Okay.
So it's going to come to console. Like it'll happen. Just, you know, you got to give those people time because like, building it for like the Switch or the PS4, that just takes time compared to doing it for PC. PC is a lot more open, from what I understand. So yeah, keep a lookout for that eventually on the Switch. It's going to happen. It'll happen. But right now it's just PC, Steam, and itch.io only. And I would recommend it.
Nice.
I had the opportunity to talk to the artist on the game, Marlo Dobby, on one of the PAX episodes. She was great. The art in the game is great. It looks very, very delightful. Like, reminds me a little bit of Earthbound, where it's like all the enemies are just like regular things.
Yeah.
And like your dice people have a lot of emotional expression, like, which is kind of hard when they're dice. So.
I see. Oh, it is very. I was picturing more of like a 16-bit type situation, but I was wrong.
It's funny because the guy who designed the game, Terry Cavanaugh, his last known game is Super Hexagon, which is this really intense like rhythm game, and it's got like chip. It would have like you play with like chip tunes, and it'd be more like an old school arcadey feel. So like to have him work on this and have this like. A kind of adorable art style is a change of pace.
It's very cute.
A welcome one.
It's very cute. The art is very cute.
Okay, so the game I learned the most from is Area 51, where I learned about the legitimate existence of Area 51 and what they're keeping there.
Okay, really?
I would need to think more about like
just a bit.
I mean, so I don't know if like the most, but honestly, like playing Persona 5, like that really gave me a feel for like what it's like to be in Japan before I went.
Oh.
Like one of the very first things you do in the game is you have to figure out the train route from your house to school. And like, you're just like, whatever. But like there are so many tunnels and exits and entrances to the trains in Shinjuku or Shibuya. It's very, very complicated. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to track that. So it, like having known that in advance, doing that myself, I was like, okay, yeah, this actually resembles it.
Perfect. Would you play a game? Oh, man, forget it. I have 1,000 questions about this, so I won't.
About Japan or Persona or educational games? Or
all I'm saying is educational games would be so fun if they actually taught us things. Navigating a city. That's all I'm saying. But like, put some realism into it. Going to New York City, put some peeing men in corners. Don't let any alleys happen. Garbage pickup doesn't happen. Rats.
The original Watch Dogs is set in Chicago, and it's like modeled after Chicago. So
is it really?
Yeah.
Classic Chicago, like 1930s?
Like modern Chicago. It's set in the modern day.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Nice. So, I mean, all I'm saying is, like, let's do this. Let's do this, guys.
Well, Di, I think that's all I've been playing right now. You know, honestly, I've got more stuff up my sleeve, but gotta save it. Gotta ration it.
Gotta ration it. Gotta do it.
Yeah. Before we go, though, is there anywhere people can find you, either in person or online?
Online. DieBillick.com. Instagram at Diabilic, Twitter at Diabilic.
Can we share your other Instagram account?
Yes. My dog. Follow my dog. Harry Beef Picks.
That's good. Okay. Thank you. H-A-R-R-Y, right?
Yes.
Okay. Not H-A-I-R-Y?
No, no, no. Harry, like Harold, his name.
Okay. Okay. Just make it.
It's my dog.
Yes. Okay. as for us, we can be reached by email at somanybitspodcast@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook. We're So Many Bits on there. Follow us on Twitter and Tumblr at So Many Bits. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Please rate and review or download from Simplecast, from SoundCloud, from YouTube, or stream on Spotify. We play games, twitch.tv/somanybits, Wednesday and Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Central Time. Wednesdays for Magic the Gathering Online at MTG Arena. Thursdays for a variety of different games. We got, recently I've been playing Doki Doki Literature Club.
Okay, perfect.